It is good to see everyone this morning. I'm thankful that we have all chosen to be here this morning. I'm especially thankful for our visitors, as was mentioned, that you're traveling, you're away from home, but your desire to worship God is seen in your attendance this morning. As I mentioned in Bible class, we're going to be looking this morning at attendance. We're going to be looking at what it means whenever we decide to come to worship or when we choose not to come to worship. I've seen a trend in every congregation that I've ever worshiped at. You've got some who are there every time the doors are open. If at all possible, they're there. They're there for every worship service. They're there Sunday and Wednesday for Bible class. They're there for gospel meetings. They're there for singings or whatever is going on. But then in the same congregation, there are some who are there on Sundays, but not every Sunday. They rarely have anything to do with Bible class. Maybe occasionally they do. But then they're rarely there for singings, gospel meetings, and so forth. And my question is, why is the difference? Why are some Christians there all the time and some Christians aren't? Does it really make a difference whether we're here or not? Are we being legalistic just to say, yes, you need to be here? Is it asking too much for children of God to come and worship God? I would say it makes a huge difference. I think it makes a huge difference. We're going to look at the Bible. It doesn't matter what I think, but what the Bible says about our attendance. And I think it shows a great deal of our heart and our desire, just as we've desired and purposed to be here this morning. But I think our attendance has a lot to do with the spiritual life of us, but also the spiritual life of the congregation. And so I want us to consider that this morning. Obviously, there are situations where we can't be there. When we're sick, when we're contagious, please don't come if you're contagious. If we're traveling, we cannot be here, obviously. I'm not talking about this morning. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about those who choose to do something else instead of coming and worshiping God. They decided that something is more important than being here to worship God. I want us to look at the reality of that. When we choose to skip services, we also choose to do some other things. And I want us to consider those this morning. The first thing that we choose to do whenever we choose to skip services is that we choose to skip some of the commandments that God has given to us. The first one I want to look at is the command for us to assemble. As Brother Larry read or talked about in the communion and the offering there, and he talks about on the first day of the week there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they came together for a purpose. As Thomas read there in Hebrews chapter 10, they were to not forsake the assembling, and they were to encourage one another and all these things. Someone's pointed out one time, well, you don't need to use that as a standalone passage. Okay, I won't use it as a standalone passage. Let's use all the other ones and look at God's examples and commandments to us besides this one. And we'll see that there are many things that happen in the worship that we need to be able, that we can do while we're together for that purpose. So again, we look here, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, not forsaking the assembling. This is a warning that is given to these people. Again, we can look at their situations and what their mindset was at this time. We're not going to get into a whole lesson on that. But again, this word forsake means to abandon or to leave behind or to desert something. And Phil actually brought this up in Bible class about the husband and wife relationship. How many times does your spouse have to not come home before you are concerned that they are deserting or that they are forsaking you? Do they have to not come home 3 months in a row? Or two nights in a week, they don't come home? You know, if Michelle didn't come home one night, I would be concerned. I would know there's a problem. I need to look into this. I need to see why you decided not to come back home. Do we look at it any differently when it comes to worship? It's not any different. If someone is missing, there's something wrong. And we need to see if it's a sickness or traveling. Or maybe there's something different, something deeper than that. And no, we're not going to completely abandon the church whenever we miss one time. But again, we've got to look at these things, and we've got to understand that every time that we miss, that we choose to skip, it gets easier and easier to skip that next time. Every time we choose to skip, we get closer and closer to falling away. Again, been there, done that. Again, we talked about college. The Bible class and the lesson are going together very well this morning. In college, I stopped going a little bit, and every time it got easier and easier until I just stopped going. I know this. It is true. It's easier and easier, and you come closer and closer to falling away. But on the other hand, when we're in the habit of coming together to worship God, we're much less likely to start skipping and finally forsake the assembling and falling away. We can choose to skip services and forsake the assembling not just 30 times. We can do it with one choice. I can choose today, I'm going to forsake the assembling. I'm going to skip services because I have something better to do. That's a choice, and that's a heart problem. Like I said, if that's the choice that we make, then we need to realize that our desire is not for God, not for worshiping God. Our desire is for pleasing ourselves. And that is a very dangerous path to go down to. Like I said, that's a heart problem. That's a much bigger problem that we have spiritually. Another command that we can also choose to forsake whenever we choose to skip service is the command to edify one another. As Christians, that's something that we definitely need to be doing. We need to edify and lift up and build up one another. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 19, notice what Paul says there. He says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Pursue things that can edify another. That is not skipping services. Again, how can we edify one another if we aren't even here? Yes, there's other things that we could do to edify one another, but to be honest, we're together here more than we're together anywhere else. We may get together sometimes at one another's houses and things like that, but the majority of the time we spend together is right here. This is a great opportunity for us to edify one another these couple times a week. And we need to be taking advantage of those things. Why would we choose to pass up this opportunity? And a question I've got about that is, if we don't want to spend time together here on earth, why would we want to spend time together in heaven for all eternity? If we don't want to come and worship and praise God here on earth, why would we want to do it for all eternity? It makes no sense. But some say, yes, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to do those things while I'm here on earth. Makes no sense. It's a senseless thing that we do sometimes. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verses 12 and 13, the writer warns us here. And he says, "Beware, brethren." This is verses 12 and 13. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But," verse 13, "exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We see the same thing there in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 as well. Yes, sure, we can exhort one another when we're away from here. We can call each other and say, "Hey, I prayed for you today." Like I said, why would we pass up an opportunity to do that whenever it's been established and set up? But we can come together several times a week and do that very same thing. But we can't do that whenever we choose to skip services. I don't think anyone would argue that we're going to be an encouragement when we show up and we're here together. Every one of us has experienced that before. Whenever we can be there with one another. And, you know, we talked about times whenever you don't feel good and you said, "You know, I'm going to come anyway." And you leave there and you say, "I'm so glad I did, because I feel better. I was encouraged. I was uplifted because I came and I worshiped with those who have the same mindset as me. Those who want to go to heaven. Those who love God. And I was able to do that." We always will feel better when we do that. But again, can we do that whenever we choose to not come together? We're not edified, and we can't edify others in turn. But the problem comes when others count on us not being there more than they count on us being there. If that describes you, there's a problem. That is a serious problem. There's something wrong with that. Another command that we sometimes pass up when we choose to skip services is the command to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the very thing that Jesus talked to his disciples about there in Matthew chapter 6. He says this very same thing for them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what we are to be seeking as well. But sometimes we will not come to worship in the kingdom, much less seek first the kingdom. We have all got things to do, but as we pointed out before, the reality is we've got one priority. That priority should be serving God, glorifying God, worshiping God. Everything else falls underneath that. But the problem is we've got to put things in order. We've got to understand what is most valuable and then work accordingly through our life. I've known many Christians, several Christians, who have decided that they're going to deny a job. They're going to turn down a job because they know that that job is going to keep them from being able to assemble in the times that they need to assemble. And sometimes they say, well, you've got to have a job, you've got to support your family, but I've never found a Christian who has done that, who has decided, I'm not going to take that job because it's going to keep me from my worship, that God didn't take care of them. Every time God takes care of those who do what He wants them to do. And so that's not a very good excuse, to be honest with you. I've known other people, other Christians who have said, no, I'm not going to sign my child up or myself up for sports or extracurricular activities because I looked at the schedule and they have their games on Wednesday nights. They've got their games on Sunday mornings during worship. And so I'm not going to put my family in that situation because the most important thing I can do, my priority, is worshiping God. I love to worship God. I love to glorify God. And therefore, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put us in a situation where we can do those things. But on the other hand, I've also known Christians who will not come to worship because they've got aches and pains on Sunday. But on Monday, they're at the mall. They're at work. They're at the store doing the things that they want to do with the same aches and pains that they had on Sunday. That says a whole lot about you. Not anyone particular, I'm just saying about us. It says a lot about me if I decide that I'm going to get out with these same problems during the week, but I'm not going to put myself through worship because of those pains. You see where I'm going with that? It's a mindset. It's an attitude. And we've got to look at ourselves and see if that's in ourselves or not. Jesus said that we are to put Him first. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 37, He says this. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. He who loves a son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. He who does not take his cross and follow after Me is not worthy of Me." Over in Luke chapter 14, He says something very similar there in verse 26. Luke 14, verse 26. It says, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate," that is, love less, "his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple." I thought a lot about that verse this week as I've been getting this lesson together. Loving God more than, sure, we can say our friends, our father and mother, okay, that relationship is severed some when you get married, okay. Well, wife and kids, that gets a little bit harder to do. Brothers and sisters, okay, I love Paul, he lives with his family, I'm with mine. But then you get to this point of, and even yourself also, you're not worthy of Me. If I don't love myself less than I love God, or as He says there, you cannot be My disciple. That's where it gets hard. Because that means I've got to sacrifice what I want to do. I've got to sacrifice my thoughts and my wishes so that I can do what God wants me to do. That means I'm going to come worship Him, and I'm not going to worship myself by going and doing what I want on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I'm going to be here doing the most important thing that I can do. And so that's a command to seek first the kingdom of God. And it can go even further than that. But despite these things that we read about, Jesus' teachings about loving Him more than our family and so forth. You can go and turn over to Matthew chapter 12. We'll read that here in just a second. But despite this clear teaching that Jesus is saying, love Me more, I've known too many people who have said, well, my family's in town, so we're not going to be here for worship. How is that showing Christ? How is that being an example of a Christian, a Christian, whenever we choose, well, I'm going to stay home with my family. So, okay, why don't you bring your family with you? And I can say this, I've done both of these. We've traveled before, and we've got to somebody's house, and it was really close to time to leave for services. And we just said, we're tired, and all the family's here, and we're just going to have to leave them if we don't. And so we stayed, and we didn't go to worship. I've done that. But I've also been there the same trip. When we get there, and we say, hey, we're going to worship. Y'all want to come with us? And they said, nope. And so we had to go and leave everyone else to go and worship, because that was what was most important. That's not a pat on my back. That's an example. We've got to choose who we're going to serve. Not our family, not ourselves. We're going to serve God if we truly love Him. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus makes it very clear who our real family is. Beginning in verse 46, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered and said to the ones who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother. Can anyone say that we are truly seeking first the kingdom of God if we're not willing to come to worship? To come to Bible class. I think we know the answer to that. Along the same lines, when we choose to skip services, we also choose to skip an opportunity. We're going to look at a few opportunities that we skip when we choose to not be here. The first one is an opportunity to grow and to develop spiritually. Our services, just as we're doing this morning, are designed for us to grow. Yes, they're designed to worship God as well, but they're also for us. God doesn't need our praise. He has expectations and commands for us, but these things are to help us as well. Hearing sermons and attending Bible class and going through these studies together, they help us in our maturity, in our growth, helping us to be who we need to be. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is vital for us as Christians to hear the Word and to grow and mature in these things. However, as you look at Hebrews chapter 5, in verses 12 through 14, we see this. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. No, our worship is not intended to be our primary source of biblical knowledge. But it sure is a great opportunity for us to add to that, to mature in these things. I can study, and I study all week long. But when I come here for things such as Bible class, and we talk to each other, and you share your thoughts and experiences and knowledge that you have with the Word, we all grow. I learn so much during Bible class when we are sharing things. And you can't deny that. That's just the reality of that. Again, even our songs, the songs that we sing, as Phil was talking about in the prayer, he's talking about all these applications to the song that we had just sung. How we need God every hour. And we need to realize that in our lives. These are lessons that are, the good songs are the ones that are derived from the passages. It's part of the reason why there's a passage written underneath the title of the song to help you see this is God's Word, and this is where we derive these thoughts from. And so our songs teach us. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul writes, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so our songs encourage us and they teach us. And our prayers, our contribution, taking the Lord's Supper, all of these things are meant to bring us closer to God, but it's also meant to bring us closer to one another. That's why it's called fellowship. It brings us together. This is something we can do as children of God. We come together and we have a union through God, through Christ, to be able to do these things. But we miss out on these things when we choose to skip. We understand that our physical bodies need to grow and they need a good, healthy diet in order to grow. But spiritually, the same is true. We need a spiritual diet, because if we're suffering nutrition, we're going to suffer. we're going to become weak. We're going to eventually fall away. We're not going to have the peace and the joy and all the comforts that come of being a Christian if that's the case. And so in reality, whenever we choose to skip services, we're not just hurting everyone else. We're hurting ourselves. That's the reality of what's going on here. Another thing that happens when we choose to skip services is we choose to skip an opportunity to help the church to function properly. The church needs workers. Did you notice that this morning, how many people have been in a leadership role? We've got young men who are reading, who are saying prayers, serving the Lord's table. We've got young men singing and so forth. And all these different things that we need workers here. In this before worship, we had other workers in the back teaching Bible classes and such. We need everyone here to be a worker. We need every part to do its share. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, Paul describes this responsibility of each of us. He says in verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love." And so we grow through knowing God's Word and studying God's Word, through singing and doing all these things, but also we grow as we're edified, as each part does its share. These are things that we all need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll just read these two. There's others that we could read as well, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, it reminds us that we can never say that we are not needed by others or that we don't need others. We all work together as a part. In verse 12, Paul again says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" And so we understand, if we are going to function properly as the church, we need workers, both physically as well as spiritually. We need men who will stand up and teach and preach and lead prayers and serve on the Lord's table. We need Christians, as I mentioned, to teach Bible classes. We need Christians to do all these other things, to prepare the Lord's Supper and to clean the building. All these different things that happen. And many times we may take those for granted. We don't just show up and everything happens. These sermons don't just magically appear Sunday morning and I get to read them. The Lord's table is prepared. It's clean. All these things are done with preparation because we needed these workers. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. We need people to help those who are needy. We need to help those who are weak and strengthen those. We need to do all these different jobs. And the church needs people inside and outside for all of these different things. The church needs us. It needs every one of us. We got to remember that like a chain, its weakest member, its weakest link can cause the whole chain to be weak. Well, that applies here too. Whenever we don't show up, part of our chain is missing. We're not as strong as we could be. And we need to realize that when we make that choice to not come. We've got to ask ourselves, do I really want the church to grow? Do I really want souls to be saved? Do I really want the weak to be encouraged? Do I really want our young people to have good Bible class teachers? And if the answer to that is yes, then you need to make sure you're here. You need to be participating in those things and helping out along those things. Our congregation is never going to reach full potential if we choose to not come to every Bible class. If we choose to not come to every worship service, every gospel meeting or singing or whatever may be going on here, if we're not here, we are hindering this congregation from being everything that it could be. Well, we've got to choose. Am I going to weaken this congregation because of my attitude, or am I going to strengthen it because of my attitude? That's the reality. Then finally this morning, one more thing I want us to look for. When we choose to skip services, we also choose to skip one more opportunity, and that is to help prepare ourselves for eternity. Yes, we're going to help others as well, but let's look at ourselves a little bit more. Remember the slogan for the Boy Scouts, always be prepared? Of course, I don't think they're even the Boy Scouts anymore. I think that's another sermon. But anyway, as Christians, we are always to be prepared. Prepared for eternity, prepared for all these different things. Jesus warned against being unprepared there in Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, beginning in verse 33. He said, "Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." Verse 35 says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." It's very naive of us to assume that we're going to be prepared for that day without putting any effort into it. Effort to be here, effort to study our Bibles, effort to help others, to do all those things that we see and read throughout the Bible. It's very naive of us to think that we'll be prepared for that. In Acts chapter 20, go ahead and turn over there. As Paul's preparing to go over to Jerusalem, as he calls the Ephesian elders to him, that one last time. Notice what he says, what he does to prepare, or has done to prepare himself and others for that day. Beginning in verse 17 of Acts chapter 20. It says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I also lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, what happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see how I go bound in the Spirit of Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to me, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in from among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch." Do you know how many times he said that in this passage? "Watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What was Paul's attitude and his concern? It was to make sure that he and everyone else that he came in contact with was prepared. Prepared for that day. "I've not shunned to proclaim the whole counsel to you. Night and day, for years I've done this." That doesn't mean I didn't feel like coming to church this morning. He was there. He was teaching it. He was busy. He understood the value of coming together and teaching. Again, as we look there, Acts 20, verse 7, as we read there, that as he's the verses before that, remember, he was ready to leave, but he said, "Nope, we've got worship today. And so I'm going to stay. I'm going to tarry here a little bit." And so he taught. That was what was most important for him. He could have gotten ahead on the trip, but he said, "No, I have something more important that I need to do." We've got to have that same attitude. Again, attendance contributes to all these things in preparation. Again, as we've already talked about our songs. Our songs prepare us for eternity as we sing songs about eternity. As we sing songs like the invitation song, asking our hearts, "Is my heart ready and then responding in that way. Again, our songs, we prepare also through studying the Scriptures and reading these passages about Christ and what He has done, the whole story of the Bible preparing us for our eternity. Those things prepare us, and we miss out. We choose to miss out whenever we don't come to services by choice. When I was in college, we used to have things called study sessions. And what it was the teacher, the professor, would go and bring either past tests or maybe even the final for that year. And they'd bring them to us. At this time, it wasn't regular class time, but hey, I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. And if you want to study for this test, if you want to prepare yourself better for this test, you're going to show up. And so we show up, and she brings or he brings the test, and we read over these things, and our confidence is built. We're better prepared. And so when that test comes, we're ready. But unfortunately, there were some who decided, I'm not going to come to that preparation test or that study session. I've got better things to do than to do that. And then when the test comes, they were, well, I wasn't as prepared as I thought I would be. Do you see the spiritual application to that? We've got an opportunity before us every Sunday and Wednesday, maybe some extra times in between, that we can have that study session. We can study together. We can prepare ourselves and build our confidence up in the Word. But when we choose to not do that, we have blown an opportunity to prepare us for eternity. There's great value in doing that, but unfortunately, we sometimes don't do what we need to do, what we ought to do. Can we honestly say that we are ready and waiting and watching for the Lord to come when we choose to skip opportunities such as this? The answer is no. We can't say that we are ready. We're watching. We're waiting for Him to return, because that's not our desire. It's not where our heart is. Again, we're talking about choosing to not come whenever we have the ability to do so. So why should we come this morning? Why should we come Wednesday? Why should we come and worship every time we have an opportunity? Kind of recapping what we talked about this morning. We do it because it helps us fulfill God's commands for us. We do it because it helps us to grow and develop spiritually. It helps the congregation to function in the way that it needs to. And it also helps us all to be ready, waiting, and watching for Christ's return. Again, when it comes to attending services, a true child of God, one who loves God and wants to be in Him for eternity, is going to have the same attitude that we see there in Psalm 122. When David says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that your attitude towards worship? I hope it is. I hope that's all of our attitude. We want to be here. But do you value every time we can get together? Do you see the value in that? Do you see the blessings in us coming together? Not just blessing for you for being here, but blessings for everyone else, because we all came together with one mind to serve God, not to serve ourselves. Like I said a while ago, the biggest question is, why would you not want to come together every single opportunity that we have to worship God, to worship our Creator? Why would we not want to do that, knowing what awaits us after this life? Again, this lesson is not intended... Whoop, there's your passage. You can read it real quick. This lesson was not intended to be a finger pointing at anyone. Like I said, I was asked to present a lesson about this. But it's something that we all should consider. We should look at ourselves and say, you know what? Have I chosen not to come together and assemble with the saints when I could have? I know that if I put a little bit more effort, I could have been there. I know that if I had shifted my schedule a little bit more, I could have been here and done other things later. Because serving God is the most important thing that I could do. Maybe that's not a problem you have this morning, but maybe you look and you see there's another error in your life that you need to take care of. We've got a perfect opportunity right now to make that right. If you need prayers and encouragement by the brethren here, we'll be happy to do that with you. Maybe you're not a child of God, though, this morning. You've not had your sins forgiven in baptism. You've not repented of your sins and confessed Christ as the Son of God. And you need to do that this morning. That's the most important thing that you could possibly do. Don't leave here with doubt. Don't leave here with sin that has not been taken care of. But if you do have some spiritual need this morning, I hope that you'll take care of it right now as together we stand and sing.